Good morning to each one of you. Nice to see so many faces, both familiar and unfamiliar. I want to talk about being an example this morning, but before I start, let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you have given us an example to follow, that you've come down and lived among us, and that we were able to observe how you lived. And God, I pray that we would be able to follow in your steps, be encouraged by the pressures that you faced, and that we would be able to face the pressures of the world around us, and that we'd be able to rub off on each other. In Jesus' name, amen. I should say at the beginning here, I've been, I feel like I'm on a journey. I feel like I'm sort of just at the start of discovering some interplay between denominations and culture, and I feel like it's a work in progress. I feel like this morning is a little bit early to be teaching others, so bear with me if I say something heretical. Call me out on it, and but yeah, my time at Church Engaged gave some conversations that helped spur this on, and also a message that I listened to just this last week. So be an example that shows your values, and the message this last week was talking about how what forms our worldview is basically the normals of life that we've grown up around. And I was realizing in my own family, like, we do a lot of things that are normal. And we do some things that are different than I grew up doing. And really, in every action, it's somehow speaking to a value that you're holding. So the purposeful practices or traditions of one generation easily become the normal practices or the culture of the next. The heroes that you lift up will likely be the heroes that the next generation looks up to. And I thought it would be really interesting to hear some feedback from you guys. If I was realizing that this doesn't make as much sense when I think about the younger generation who are still living at home. But I think for those that are the head of a house, I would love to hear what some of your dad's heroes were. Who were your dad's heroes? Your grandfather was your dad's hero?
Yep.
Okay. So like church leaders or? Okay. And if you have a hard time thinking, maybe think separated from Christianity even. Like
Ronald Reagan.
Not sure if I'm spelling this right, but yes.
One of my father's heroes was a man by the name of John Renfro.
John Renfro. Okay, so Maybe just say martyrs. Wow, I don't even know how to spell that. Has a Y in it somewhere, but I'm not sure where. How about in the realm of sports? Did any of your dads look up to a team or a player?
Patriots.
You say they were the...
Oh,
music group. Okay. Okay, so... Now, the question I have for each of you that gave me some feedback is, how many of you have a negative view of those people?
Of the people?
Of the people that your dads looked up to. Okay, Chad. You have, your dad had somebody that, that he looked up to that you don't. And I think it's not across the board, but the point that I want to make is that it's likely that your children will like who you like, strictly because they grew up around you and they heard your reasons, and even if they didn't hear your reasons, that's affected them. And I was also thinking about just the traditions that we have. Something that we do as a family, that what's our view of the traditions that our parents have had. Often they're positive, as the more you mature you get, the more you see positive things in the traditions that people did. So then the question I have is, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want? I have cultural legacy, but culture is basically the normals of life. And I think I want to encourage us to invest in the culture that we are producing for our children. So I did some research on things that change culture, and this was just a Google search that came up with 6 different things that change culture, and it was relating them to the culture of a company, which was interesting to me. I don't usually think of companies as having culture, but I think it's something that's growing. But basically, so one of the things that changes a culture is having new authority. If you get a new boss, or if a country is occupied by a foreign power, that's going to really mess with the culture of that country. And I think as churches progress and get new leaders, it has an effect on the culture of the church. The second thing that changes a culture is emerging or adoption. So I thought of this as like exposure to something that's new. Like, if all you know is what is in your circle, that's probably what's going to continue being in your circle. But as you get exposed to new things, either the rejection of that point or the integration of that, either one of them is going to affect your culture. The third point is a spinoff. So even if a culture is self-contained and it splits into 2 different groups, any group left to themselves, out on their own, will develop into a unique culture because they begin to have their own history, their own experiences, and that affects who they are. The fourth one is changing needs or requirements. So I think the thing that comes to my mind right away is technology. Like, all of a sudden we need to, as a church, we need to respond to what do we do with technology? Do we stick with horses even though tractors are invented, or do we stick with
emails, even though we can text message or whatever. I mean, there's a broad range. Or a job change, or like when our role in life changes, it affects our culture. Another thing that affects culture is tragedy. So whether it's a storm, a weather, or persecution, or an accident that causes you to have an amputation or something like that, that will affect the way you view life and the rules that you live by. And then the sixth point was globalization. I didn't really put much thought process into that or how that affects culture, but the point is that all culture has changed and will continue to change. Life is not in a vacuum, and either you will be irrelevant to the changes that happen, or you will engage in the process. So this is a invitation to each of us to engage positively. Will you be a force for positive change, negative change, or no change at all? So some different places where there is culture is there's a family culture, when every household has its own way of doing things, and that is a microculture. Every group of friends has its own unique set of cultural rules that it lives by, the words that it uses, the things that you do. Associates or people that you relate to, sort of the same as friends. Organizations. So whether you're in a church or a mission or a group that centers around a hobby or some other, any organization is going to have its own unique little culture that works, has its own set of rules. So then there's school and workplace and community, neighborhood and society. And I think even in media, there's its own little culture, whether it's WhatsApp or like social media or movies or whatever, that it's really, really ties into culture. So there's really four ways to influence change in a culture. And I think in my studies, it was a lot related to how a government goes about changing a culture, which I tend to have a negative view towards most of the time. But so ways to influence change are to exemplify the change, to engage or partner with others in the change, to encourage others, to praise the small steps that they take, and to enable them to take up the slack, because anytime there's going to be change, there's going to be things that need to be taken care of that are going to get left behind. And I think all of those speak to us laying down ourselves and looking for ways to help positive change in others, in the whole, to change the culture. So these most easily start in our roles as individuals or as siblings and also as parents. They start in the home. They then progress into all the other places of culture. So all of us are going to be influenced by the examples and by the enabling that we get from society and from school and from our friends. Let's be proactive in setting the stage for others so they know how to face the pressures and lures they will face later in life by processing with them as they grow. There are always those within a culture who encourage change, and there's those that who resist change. Both of these are good and necessary. If we changed all at once, there would be no normal at any given time. And so we need those that resist change to bring stability. We also need those that encourage change so that we can actually progress and process the new things in life. Both of these are good and necessary. Let's embrace the diversity and show appreciation for the good influences of others, even when it's not aligned with our tendencies. We really need to engage others to mine out what positive traditions have aided in keeping values alive. And I think this is where communication really helps. I think even in a church as small as ours, there's a lot of different traditions and culture in every family, and even in individuals within families. And I think there's a lot to be gained if we can learn what's working for other people and help that come into our own life and into the broader church to be positive. Jesus said, "Follow me." Are you doing that? Or do you only preach it? Matthew 5:13-16 says that you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Are you lifting up a life that makes sense to this world, that makes sense of this world? So I think all of us, our worldview is the way that we look at life. And I think of us being the salt of the salt of the earth. That brings out the flavor. Food without salt is pretty tasteless, and I think life in society in general makes very little sense. But with a Christian worldview, I think you can make sense of that. You can bring flavor out, and you can clarify the confusion that comes with darkness by being that light. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then Philippians 4:8. "Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And I feel like I'm sort of a problem solver. That tends to be where my mind goes. I spend very little time enjoying where I'm at. I'm usually thinking about where I'm going. But I think this verse is really a strong encouragement to enjoying the present. Are we so focused on improvement and growth that we don't enjoy the good in life because we are busy trying to get rid of the bad? Or do we highlight the bad in others to try to make ourselves look better? I think both of those are totally opposite of what this verse says that we are to be doing. We're to be thinking about the lovely and the admirable and the true things. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm not sure what the translation is. These are just verses I've copied off. But do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. God doesn't want us to be approved by others, but by himself. What can we do to handle the truth that we have in the word better? And I think I was realizing that in our house, I feel like we could do a lot to lift up the value of Scripture more than we do now. And I was thinking through that, like, what do birthday parties show a value of? They show a value of life. They show a value of each individual person. But yeah, what celebrations could we implement that would actually show the value that we have for the Word of God and for truth? "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." 1 Timothy 4:12. Change can start at any level, for good or bad. So I think it's easy to stereotype all the bad stuff comes from the young people. You know, that's where all bad things start. And all the good comes from the old people. I would say that's the adult stereotype. Maybe the young people have it the other way around. But it doesn't have to be that way. Let's all shift our focus and lift up a vision for positive change by being proactive and not reactionary. Titus 2:7 says, "In everything set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching show integrity and seriousness." Exposures to others' examples are inspiring. I think this is where cross-cultural ministry does some of that in highlighting the good and the bad of your own culture. So I think that's a little bit of a exposure can help you to see something that's better than what you have. Exposure to others' examples are inspiring. It is so much easier to follow an example than to be one. Is there something you are waiting to do because you don't know where to start? I know that's where I feel like as a young person, especially, I was very much in that place where I really wanted to be witnessing for my faith, and I wanted to fast and pray, but it just felt like, what do I do first and how do I do it? And I really appreciate, especially one of my cousins that encouraged me to do hard things by being that example and asking me to come along with them and hold up signs and whatever. I still feel like I'm often that way. I would love to participate in things if somebody else got them started. Let's consistently endeavor to be the change we want to see and have a mind of humility and forbearance that others will probably be slower at jumping on board than we would like. But others will see our example eventually. Seek to inspire and enable, not to shame people into the change that you think they should have. Philippians 3:17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And I think of Hebrews 11, where we have so many different people living a life of faith, and all of them had their mess ups, but Jesus is our perfect example, and I think the more examples we have to look at and follow, the more we can sort out what's actually valuable and what's not. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, this is Romans 12:1, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Being an example is hard work and looks sacrificial, but pleasing God is the best example we can be. Let's not get too focused on being the example for others, and let's be what God wants us to be, and that will be that example. I just wanted to throw that out there, and hopefully you guys can process that. Hopefully it encourages some dialogue that will help us face the changes of life well, because life will change, and we can't just stay where we're at. God bless you.